From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, it's the fast-evolving Double Game Week 19. With 15 fixtures on the way, we ask which chip, bench boost or trip skip, plus how big a points hit should we permit? And we discuss the worst event in the history of FPL. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, manager person, and welcome to another 40 minutes or so of top FPL insight, courtesy of the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. I am James Richardson, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined today by football writers Jack Lang and Julien Laurence. Hello.
Hi, James.
Hi, James.
Yeah. And also, all-round fantasy whiz, Mark Southern.
Hi, James.
All right, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Great to have you all on board, because... Yeah, very well, thank you. It's a delicate moment, this. A challenging one, too, for many managers. The flip-flop between the paucity of fixtures in Game Week 18 to the plethora of ones that await us in Game Week 19. Are we all on, can I just ask, are we all on free hits for Game Week 18?
Looks like we are, yes. Yeah.
All right, we're not alone either. About 1.5 million managers worldwide activated the free hit option to bring in a special side for these six fixtures, one of which is still to play as we record this. That's Arsenal's clash with Crystal Palace, which is coming up this Thursday evening. How's it been for you so far, though, Jack, Julien and Mark?
For me, I would say probably just about par. I've got three Arsenal players tonight who I'm hoping will lift me above the throgging masses, because not that many people have picked Lacazette. So I was quite pleased when Callum Wilson blanked. I was tempted to have him. I was tempted to have Harry Maguire. There were a few players who have were in and out of my free hit team, but I think Lacazette could be right. The difference maker for me tonight, hopefully.
So much of the pleasure of being an FPL manager is seeing other people's players not performing. But I'm surprised more don't have Lacazette. I certainly got him. Jules, you've got Lacazette, I imagine, haven't you?
So I had him, and then I changed for Wilson simply because he's my friend. I didn't want to jinx him, and I thought if I put you in my team, you're gonna blank. I know it. So it was more by kindness towards Arsenal and Lacazette himself than by my own game. No, what I did that was really stupid though is I trusted Steve Bruce and Newcastle. And to be fair, when I did it, I had a little voice in my head saying, why are you doing that? Why are you mad? Why are you trusting Steve Bruce and Newcastle? And I still put Darlow and Fernandez in there, you know, because I thought, I don't know, it's Sheffield and Wilson, to be fair, it's Sheffield United. And I never expected them to play that badly. And again, I would never, ever trust them ever again.
Okay. Jack's on 39 points. Julien's on 41 with Arsenal players still to come. Mark Southern.
I'm on 44. Very underwhelming. I mean, this is the thing with the chips is they raise expectations so much, don't they? You have this vision of getting like 60, 70 points and then they always let you down. I got the Mane triple captain last season, of course, which was a disaster. And this season, the free hit, my next chip that I played, I get the Sterling penalty miss, which was one of those things that creates a story you're going to remember for many seasons, because I had De Bruyne. De Bruyne was captain, didn't expect Sterling to get on because he didn't start. Then he got on for the final 10 minutes and then out of nowhere took that penalty. I think Gundogan handed it to Sterling after De Bruyne said he didn't want to take it. So I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get a return out of Sterling, an assist for De Bruyne, who's my captain, probably bonus for De Bruyne as well. I reckon about 15 points had he scored, and of course he skied it. And that moment, as I say, although I'm absolutely gutted and it's painful, it will create a story I'll tell for a few seasons. So it's one of those like the Mane injury, isn't it?
I was rubbing my hands at the prospect of the De Bruyne assist for that penalty, but I wonder how many other managers suffered the same 15-point swing there, Mark?
Yeah, well, Ian Irvine, who hosts the FPL show with us, he actually asked Pep whether Sterling was going to be fit before the match, and because he's a reporter up there, and he found out for sure, yeah, he's fit from Pep firsthand. So both he and I went with Sterling on that basis. And he describes last night as the worst chain of events in his FPL career. And he's played it as long as I have. So it's that bad for him as well.
Wow. Yeah. The worst in his career. Jack, what's been the worst moment in your FPL career?
Probably too many to name, James, I would say. But actually, the last fortnight has probably come close. Not because I've had a real point swing on a particular player, but just because I've seen what I thought were quite clever plans over this blank and then double game week completely crumble into dust. So I thought I was going to climb past a lot of my friends who wouldn't have noticed, you know, the short game week, the longer game week. I was building a team full of double game week players without having to wild card, planning to bench boost. And now my team's a complete joke. So yeah, I think this could be my nadir.
Well, as you mentioned about things changing, we've had a couple of key fixture changes coming through in the last day or two regarding game week 19, which I think will require a certain amount of reorganization from managers, as Leeds clash with Southampton is now no longer taking place in this game week, nor will Everton's game against Aston Villa. But Aston Villa will have another game inserted into game week 19 now, and that is Villa at home to Newcastle. We'll come on to the fixtures very, very shortly. Just in terms of other lessons or points to take from game week 18, another blank for Bruno Fernandes, Jules. What's going on there?
He looked tired, I thought. He really did. And it didn't look like he was the same player that we've seen before. He's played a lot, to be fair, even if he was rested for the FA Cup game against Watford. But with the game against Liverpool at the weekend, I think it's a worry to see when he's a bit struggling and, you know, and he can't give you much, to be fair. So that's a bit worrying. If you have Bruno, like I think a lot of us, do you keep him for such a big game? Do you not? It's obviously a double game week for United as well. But yeah, I thought it was quite worrying to see how tired he looked.
He was the most captained player for game week 18. So that blank, a pretty low point for loads of managers worldwide. Well, anyway, game week 19 is just around the corner, with a deadline of 11 o'clock UK time Saturday morning. With so many teams enjoying double fixtures in this round of matches, let's get on to our thoughts about that next. All right then, game week 19. I think I'm right in saying we've now got 15 games because we lost a couple and gained one. And what's the general picture? We've come off our free hit. We've reverted to teams that I think a lot of us, I imagine, will have been building for a week or two to try and get ready for this double game week set of fixtures. Maybe even planning a little bench boost or a triple captain here as well. But what's our plan of attack now on the game week 19 fixtures? Which teams, for example, have the juiciest pairing of games? Jack?
The ones that I'm looking at, obviously Manchester City at the higher end of the budget, Crystal Palace and Aston Villa both at home. I think that will require at least two City players. I think a lot of people will go for three. But in terms of saving a bit of the budget, the one that I like is West Ham, who have Burnley and West Brom at home. That looks like clean sheets, at least to me. And this is part of why the last couple of weeks have gone so badly. So just before the previous deadline, I brought in Fabian Balbuena, who had started most of their matches, and now suddenly he's third choice centre-back. So that stroke of genius now looks like, a moment to forget. So I'm now considering a wild card. We'll talk about the plans in more details now, but I've got too many question marks in my teams, and Balbuena is public enemy number one.
That feels like a massive shout to free hit and then immediately wildcard the very, very next week. Got to say, I don't know, Mark, if you want to give an instant reaction to that.
Well, I saw Mark's face. Emotion. Mark's face told me everything I needed to know.
That's
there.
Enough.
The raised eyebrow was killing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's another double game week to come in 26, and we know that's going to be a big one. So the popular tactic will be to save your second wild card to play in 25 ahead of that and build for that. So that's the only thing I would say is if you're throwing the wild card down this early, you're going to have to make preparation for game week 26. And that means using a lot of free transfers between now and then to prepare for that. But of course, we don't know what teams are going to have double game weeks until the FA Cup, you know, next two rounds are decided. So it will come together piece by piece. So you could use free transfers to prepare for it, but obviously you've got to weigh that up with the wild card. You'll have a more powerful team if you keep it.
In terms of West Ham, though, for this double game week, Jack, who are you looking at in particular?
Well, I've got Suchek, who's been a rare success story for me recently. I've got Koufal, who's a very good player. And then I've got Balbuena, who is now obviously looking in from the outside. So to be honest, two of them, I'm happy with the two I've got. The one I would consider, if he is fit, and now they've sold Sebastian Haller, it looks like he's the only option, which is Mikel Antonio.
Right.
My striking unit has been a bit dodgy ever since I got Rhian Brewster in. I'm annoyed that Patrick Bamford's double is now gone. He had two really nice fixtures. That's a blow. So, yeah, I think there's half a chance I'll end up with Antonio in my team in the next few days.
Antonio's looked fabulous when he's played, but how much do the injury issues weigh against him, Jules and Mark?
Yeah, I think you're right. He's a kind of player. He's so physical and he's so quick that I think he needs a bit of time to get back to full fitness, to his best and as efficient as he was before. In terms of West Ham, I put Cresswell in before the Everton game because I'd been watching him a bit to see if I could bring him into the team. And with the clean sheets that Jack mentioned, and rightly so, especially before those two games, that double game week, but also everything that he brings going forward, set pieces, all of that, I think Cresswell could be a quite clever choice too.
Mark, any hammers you'd like to tip up?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Souchek as well. And I did want Antonio or Fabianski, so I've got to decide where I go. I think I'm going to keep Pope in goal and opt out of Fabianski. And Jacques is saying, look at Antonio, because at the moment I've only got Chris Wood as my striker with two fixtures, because I've got Bamford and Rodrigo who have lost the fixture, obviously. And Antonio up against Burnley and West Brom, the only thing I'm worried about is, you know, Sean Dyche and Sam Allardyce, they're going to give him a buffer and they're going to test his physicality. So it's going to be a tough two games for Antonio. But I still tip him to get something. You always do, because he's just so effective.
So Mark, if you're looking for strikers elsewhere, amongst the teams that have the two fixtures, where in particular are you thinking of going? Is it the Leicester-Chelsea game? They've both got other fixtures as well. Chelsea taking on Fulham, Leicester up against Saints. Is it perhaps Liverpool and Man United? Man United also have Fulham and Liverpool have Burnley.
Yeah, I think it's very, very, very difficult. I don't think Vardy, again, with the fixtures he's got, really is that tempting, because you need the money spent in midfield. So I think you are looking at the mid price and the likes of Chris Wood and Antonio and Wals Bamford before that. They are going to be the most popular strikers for the double game week. And I don't see that changing. I don't think anyone has got faith in Giroud or Abraham. We don't know who's going to get the start. And Vardy is just that little bit too pricey, I think.
Okay. Is there a mid-range or even low price option we could maybe look at, like Callum Wilson, whose Newcastle now suddenly do have two games in which to fail to attack and get any decent points?
Just never again. Never. Don't trust them. Trust me, don't trust them.
Emphatic stuff there from Jules. All right then, Mark.
Yeah, I think with Callum Wilson, it's the way Steve Bruce sets up for away games is to get a point, and therefore Wilson has to feed off scrap. So I agree with Julian there. I think that maybe you look at Watkins again. Now he's got two fixtures, even though one's at City. You know, they've got the second game against Newcastle, which is more favourable. And you've got to look at the fixtures after game week 19 as well. So you've got to start looking at the fact that Watkins has got decent fixtures to come. And so he's a player you're going to want after 19. So getting him in now can be worth it, even for a hit.
Jules, where are you focusing your attentions then for this double game week?
So, I mean, one of the games, of course, is the Liverpool Manchester United game. And what's interesting apart from Manchester City that Jack mentioned at the beginning of the show, the other big teams have one easy fixture and one really tough fixture. But I don't think that should put us off still playing those players, whether it's Bruno Fernandes, whether it's one of the Liverpool front three or someone at Liverpool. But that Liverpool Manu is big because I think they both look tired. We saw Salah, for example, blanking, I think, in the last three game week, which is so unusual for Mo Salah. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan and I don't have him in my team, but I can understand the frustration if you had Mo Salah from the beginning. He was certainly very good up to the Crystal Palace game, but the last three games, he's been quite terrible, to be fair. And again, you don't know what kind of Mo Salah is going to turn up against United. So I think it makes it quite interesting. I would keep Bruno Fernandes. I would keep Sadio Mane. But if I had Mo Salah, I would probably be thinking about maybe getting rid of him.
Interesting, because he's been one of the kind of cornerstones, I think, of many people's teams and Liverpool too. But their recent form, they have failed to score in back-to-back league matches. He, as you mentioned, has blanked in his last three. And if you're looking to find the funds to bring in, say, a Kevin De Bruyne, is it now okay to talk about selling Salah?
I think so, certainly. And especially when you see De Bruyne's next two fixtures against Crystal Palace and Aston Villa, both at home, as we said. Even if he plays in the false number nine role, I still think he will have an impact on those games. Even better, Gabriel Jesus, for example, comes back into the game, into the team, and he plays more in his normal position, De Bruyne. I think for me, it's a no-brainer that De Bruyne, like one of the City defenders, have to be in the team.
With Salah, you can't take him out for a double game week. You just can't. If you've got him, something in my team will change, but I cannot justify removing him before a double game week with two home fixtures, particularly, even if City haven't been that convincing. The potential for frustration there is just too high.
Mm, yeah, I hear what you're saying. In terms of Man City, it's not just about De Bruyne, though. I think a lot of us will have gotten Man City defenders. Huge numbers brought them in over the game week 18. A lot of people using the free hit to do so and were rewarded with clean sheets. Given the issues with Foden and Mahrez, is that the way to go with your Man City picks? Or are you tempted with Phil Foden, particularly after his fantastic strike against Brighton on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, I chose to go with one defender and two attackers. I went to Sterling, De Bruyne. I regret that because that was in the free hit. Now the free hit is over, I've gone back to Cancelo and Diaz, and then I want De Bruyne for the third. I would look at Foden. And interestingly, you know, in terms of points per minute now, he's top for City. He's got 11.4 points per minute and De Bruyne is on 14.7. So, you know, that shows that when he plays, he is returning for FPL managers. But it's just that element of doubt. The City slots are so precious. And because the defence has kept six clean sheets in eight, I think you've got to go two defenders. So then you've got that one slot. And even though Foden has been brilliant of late, when you compare into De Bruyne's numbers, De Bruyne is still way out in front. And De Bruyne just looks the obvious captain as well. So Foden doesn't get in because of De Bruyne's basic performances. They're too strong.
And De Bruyne is certain to start anyway. Whereas for Foden, there's still that little bit of doubt of, okay, there could be rotation. Mahrez could come in. Bernardo Silva could come in his position, or even Sterling could start easily. Maybe Sterling was on the bench against Brighton to start the next game instead of Foden. So there's too many. Whereas for De Bruyne, you know for sure he's going to start.
What do you mean well about teams who don't have a double game week, but still have what could be considered attractive fixtures? Spurs are at Sheffield United, who are actually beginning to pick up a bit of form now, and Spurs just coming off another draw with a bottom three team. Arsenal, meantime, are at home to Newcastle. Do you keep faith with Gunners, even though they're just getting one pop at the points?
No, I think Spurs is the interesting one because of Kane and Son. So do you put them on your bench, for example, and then you play your bench boost because they can still score a lot of points in just that one game against Sheffield United, and then you have your double game week players in the team, or even the other way around, still works if you play bench boost, everybody scores anyway. Or do you get rid of them for this week because they just have one more game? I think you can't get rid of Kane and Son. Well, certainly I won't. So that's probably what I would do. I think I might be looking at the bench boost for this week, unless the boys convince me otherwise. But I think it could be interesting, especially with Ken and Son just having one game, but still potentially still scoring.
Just before we move on, though, Leicester do have two fixtures, and they do have other options beyond Jamie Vardy. Of course, they're taking on Chelsea and then Southampton. Southampton have won their last two visits to the King Power. That aside, are there any of the other Leicester players that you would consider? Madison, for example, who's got five attacking returns in his last six starts.
Yeah, I think Madison's form is really interesting. It's just the midfield slots, it's so crowded in there and you want to have three heavy hitters. And then you've got the likes of Soucek and Foden and Rafinha competing for the other fifth budget slot. So it's difficult to get Madison in at his price point. I've got James Justin, who has been a reliable performer in FBL. Mm. And he got a worldie against Stoke in the FA Cup, didn't he? So I'm thinking, even though he's got tough games, perhaps he's got two home fixtures, I'm expecting something from him. Maybe one clean sheet, maybe even a cheeky assist. So I think he's one that you can carry into the game week and be confident of something.
And finally, what about Aston Villa then, who, as we mentioned, have very recently picked up an extra fixture for double game week 19, the home game with Newcastle, to go along with their trip to the Etihad, less appetisingly. Ollie Watkins got a shout earlier on. Are we looking to bring in Villa players ahead of those two games? I mean, the home clash with Newcastle is a particularly fertile one for points.
Yeah, I would consider Watkins if I need to downgrade Kane, for example, and I've still got Grealish. The thing with Villa players is I don't know what's happened to the fixture list. It's like there's some kind of magic spell on it. Like it never seems to be bad for them. So you look at it again now, and obviously they've got City, but after City, Newcastle, Burnley, Southampton, West Ham, Arsenal at home, Brighton, then a hard game, then Leeds, Wolves, Newcastle. I swear they haven't had a cluster of two or three hard games all season. And plus, they're a very good team, as we know. So I'll be keeping Grealish for now, see what happens. Probably moving forward, I won't want both Grealish and Watkins, but I think this could be a good time to kind of pivot towards Watkins just because he's a little bit cheaper.
All right. Well, we've spent a lot of time and energy planning and preparing for the 18-19 flip-flop. But look out for game week 20 and beyond. Let's have a think about that a little bit more in depth next in the long view. Manager, grab your Premier League fixture difficulty rating chart available at fantasy.premierleague.com and check out who's got the most favourable runs coming up. It's an invaluable tool for your FPL management. And I think it's time for us to start looking beyond the double game week. Game week 20, for example. Jack, you were mentioning great fixtures for City. We've talked about Villa having appetising games as well. Man United don't look too bad, and neither do Fulham's. Can I first of all ask you, as we try and get our teams ready for this rejigged game week 19 and then beyond, how much of a points hit can I take and not feel like an utter failure as a manager? I'm allowed a 4, yeah? Can I go as far as 8? What do you think?
Yeah, I think an 8 is doable. I mean, what you've got to do is look at who you can get in, who can serve you in the double game week, and then look at their fixtures beyond that as well. And, you know, if it's a player like Grealish, you think, well, I really want to get him in after game week 19, you might as well take the hit and get him in now for a single game week player, because you're going to get 2 points back for the fact that he's going to play two matches, right? So of the 4 points you're spending to get him in, 2 come straight back because you know he's going to start both games. So again, just look at your targets that you're going to want from game week 20 onwards. And if any of them have double game week, maybe think about bringing them early.
Which targets would you particularly suggest people look at?
Well, I think if you haven't got additional City players, if you're sitting there, you've only got one City defender, for example, if you look at their run after game week 19, it's almost automatic clean sheets. We can always give it to them now, the three after. I think they play West Brom, Burnley and Sheffield United. I mean, they're possibly the three best fixtures you can have in terms of clean sheets. So I would spend 4 to get another City defender without any hesitation whatsoever.
What's the biggest points hit you've ever taken, Mark?
I think I took a 12 once, but I can't remember when that was. Delirium probably means I can't remember when that was. I mean, I'm fully prepared to take an 8-point hit for this one coming up, even though I've got a team wildcarded for this game week in mind. You know, I want players like Antonio and De Bruyne, and I might get rid of one of my single game week players because I know that it's only really a 2-point hit. It's not a 4-point hit.
Wow. Just hearing that you took a 12 means that it's now an option for me. Jules, you're going to use your bench boost this week.
I think that's a strong possibility because of the players I have. I build it up for this game week with the transfers before to have players with double game weeks. Plus, as I said, my dilemma around Son and Kane, who I don't want to get rid at all. So I think it potentially could be a good idea.
I think a lot of managers think that they built a team up ready to bench boost or something, but the way the fixtures have changed has completely undone a lot of our hard work. And that actually touches on something which I think is becoming a growing theme for FPL managers, which is planning's great, but the way that fixtures disappear and then appear as well means that quite often all of your good work can get undone. How much are you now just living for the moment, Jack?
I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult to let go of that urge to plan because that is, you know, I'm not a wildly successful fantasy manager by any means, but I'm used to finishing top of the groups with my mates, you know, near the top of work leagues. And that has been largely because I can, you know, plan at least 3 or 4 weeks ahead, whereas a lot of people don't. Now, yeah, I feel like the actual hard work that goes into it is often coming to nothing, which has made it really fun. And to be honest, I'm probably enjoying this season more than a lot recently, just because something seems to happen every day, whether it's on the few days when there aren't games, there's a fixture change or a COVID outbreak. So it has been, you know, a proper roller coaster.
Yeah, although obviously those are not particularly, you know, the latter are not particularly positive. Sure. But I hear what you're saying. In FPL terms, there's been a lot of uncertainty, which is interesting. And you're certainly living in the moment, which is why you're planning to now wildcard.
Yeah, I mean, talking about building a team for a bench boost, the team I have now would have looked great for a bench boost 3 weeks ago, say. So I've got Charlie Taylor, who had two games, then he got injured. Balbuena for two games, then he got knocked out of the team. Millier for two games, they lost a fixture. Bamford for two games, they lost a fixture. Reece James for two games, he got injured. I've had like four or five double game week players completely knocked out of the side. So, and in this most ridiculous of seasons, I think wildcard, why not?
Well, I suppose. Would you be looking, if you do wildcard, would you be looking to bring in any Fulham players?
I don't think so. I think Lookman at the price point, I think is interesting just because he's so busy and, let's be honest, a bit right. selfish as well. So it makes him quite a fun fantasy player.
Mark, you were nodding at the mention of Fulham.
Yeah, I like Lookman a lot, and Cavallero as well. He's on penalties and took his goal brilliantly, I thought, with Spurs. And I think he's growing into that role. Mm. So absolutely. Just going back to what Jack was saying about this season and planning, there's some talk in the FPL community about looking at FPL as a video game, almost like a role-playing game. And I think that there is a comparison to be made, because it feels like we're playing this at a higher difficulty level this season. We're on like an Iron Man mode, and everything that we've used and tested before is actually being tested even more by the challenges that we're being presented. So I agree with Jack, it's been fun.
Excellent. Jules, any other thoughts about the strategy going forward? Any teams that you're particularly keen to get in on or avoid?
No, just for me, Cancelo is at 5.8 million, but he's such an incredible player because he's your defender and they're the strongest defence in the league. And with the games coming, as we've been saying,
right.
It's a no-brainer. But because he plays in midfield, really, let's be honest, he can also bring you assist and so much more creativity.
That's the idea. But how many attacking returns has he had this season? The answer's one.
No, but if you look at the game at Chelsea, yeah. There's an amazing ball through for De Bruyne, who misses is slightly wide. But this is a chance that could easily go in, and then suddenly he's got an assist as a defender. And I think there could be more like this. But I get your point.
But is it?
However, I still think it's a risk to take.
Mm. No, I mean, he's what, 7.8 more than I think John Stones is. Is it worth that money to bring in Cancelo because he might one day start delivering on those returns? But do you guys, Mark and Jack, are you looking to get Cancelo in?
Yeah, I've got Cancelo. I've had him for a while. It's got to be coming. I mean, even against Brighton, he set Mahrez up on a one-on-one. Mahrez fluffed it. Then Cancelo manufactured his own chance and it was a good save by Sanchez. Every game without fail, it's like watching Grealish. You think, well, he's going to return in this game. It's just not happened for him. There's a 20-pointer coming. There's a massive return coming. So there's no way I'm letting go of him. And I think he's worth getting.
And Pep saying, I think yesterday or the day before, that he's so strong physically that he could play every day. Pep said, the game has finished, but he can still play the next day because he's so strong. Potentially makes you like think that he's going to start every game as well, because there's not that criteria of tiredness that maybe others have, because he seems to be so strong.
Yeah, I think if De Bruyne wasn't about and as good as he was, I'd be getting three Man City defenders. I'd be getting Stones, Diaz and Cancelo. But I think De Bruyne just makes that impossible.
Well, you would have got as many points from them as you did from De Bruyne, thanks to Raheem Sterling's efforts this midweek. So it's not that crazy a notion, Mark. Anyway, next up, let's move on to this week's Twitter question, which was, which under 9 million player do you think is the best selection? This week's question with the hashtag FPLPod on the Twitter was, with double game week 19 quickly approaching, which players under 9 million or whatever currency we use in fantasy, do you think are the best selections? Here are some of your replies. United Flex says Cavani. James BHAFC says, you got to sign Trossard. I've put 6 question marks next to this one because I'm not sure what rationale there could be behind getting Trossard in. Does anybody have any love for Trossard?
He's a player.
I think he's a good player. Yeah, I like the cut of his jib, but it doesn't really translate into points in that Brighton team. Especially, right. I thought he had quite a good little relationship with Mopay, but Potter seems to chop and change every week now, and that's kind of fallen apart. So better options out there, I would say.
Mm. All right, well, let's see if we get any more luck with our next reply, which is from Luke, who says Gundogan is a very good option. May not always play, though. Does have goals in him, and we've seen that recently. Very good player. Potentially will become more of an FPL asset in the weeks ahead. Is that fair, do you think? Or is it an issue there with the number of Man City slots available? Gundogan.
Yeah, I think, as we've said, it's so difficult to overlook the defence and De Bruyne. I think if you can't afford De Bruyne because you've got your money in on Mane, Salah or Fernandes or maybe Son or Kane, then Gundogan is a great option, as is Foden. So one of those two for sure. And Gundogan is just, like Foden, seems to have cemented his start. He could be on, he's on a lot of set pieces with De Bruyne as well. He may even be on penalties, as we said. It looked like De Bruyne was handing the ball to Gundogan before it got to Sterling. So who knows how that's going to shake up over the next few game weeks.
Hmm. Dorian says, good options are King Bamford up front, Socek in the midfield and Diaz at the back. I think we'd all agree with those. And George gives us quite a complete list, actually. Bamford, El Ghazi, Cancelo, Socek, Ings, Saka and Ruben Diaz. Oh, nice. An Arsenal player in there, Jules.
I think Saka is the one that I've got in my team right now. This is, I mean, for me, he's the one. He's 5.3 million. He still have less than 10% ownership. And he will play every game. He's got something very special. He's been Arsenal's best player by far this season already anyway. And whether he plays as a right winger, as a left winger, he seems to make things happen all the time. We saw it against West Brom, even when he doesn't start. So yeah, I think, again, for that money, he's a very good option for anyone.
Julian, what do you think of Emile Smith-Rowe, Julian, just his role?
So I think he's interesting because he needs to be just a bit more efficient in his decision making in terms of assisting and scoring. And we saw the great goal that he scored against Newcastle in the FA Cup. And I'm really hoping that this will kickstart this side of his game, because I think when he came into the team, he was very much, okay, you need to have a lot of activity, and he runs a lot, and he drops deep, and he defends, and he runs, and he makes runs a lot. But I think he forgot a little bit that his first role as a number 10 has to create and give assist and score goals. And I think that will come into his game, but maybe a little bit later. I still think he's very good, very young. So even if the price is very attractive, I would give him a bit more time to get that game up, that side of his game up a little bit. And then I think you could easily look at him and bring him when he gets that consistency in getting points returns.
Smith-Rowe and Saka yet to play, of course, their game week 18 fixture. So it may be that they do some delivering in this very week. Any other options that you'd shout out for best under 9 million selections, Jack?
I mean, in my side is still lurking what I consider to be my secret weapon. It hasn't really come off, and that's Andy Robertson. I mean, I just haven't been able to get rid of him. That sounds harsh, but he just nags away. Like, he's always seems to me on the verge of a 12 or a 15. Two fixtures this week. He's still great value. I think he's top of the defending charts. But there's still a sense that there's unfulfilled potential there. And obviously Liverpool have been completely decimated by injuries at the back, but I still see big scores ahead in the future for him, probably though after I've sold him.
Ha. Andy Robertson, he's not done too bad this season. To be fair, though, defenders under 9 million is a pretty broad category because, you know, they're all there. Jules, Mark, anybody else you want to shout out?
I think Danny Ings is one worth looking at because he's come back from injury, got that very smart goal against Liverpool, and we know his class. So I think he could be a factor in the running because of his price is quite kind. I think he's 8.3. So if you're going light up top, if you're putting lots of your money in midfield, and Ings could be someone to spearhead the attack over the season running.
Mm. Although he has lost that double game week fixture this week. Jules, anyone for you?
No, I was going to say Saka, and we mentioned Cancelo before. I think if we just continue on Southampton quickly and Ings, I think Che Adams, because he plays in a different, he's a striker, but I know you're shaking your head, and I'm with you, but I love him so much because he's a different style of number nine, like Firmino, even like Harry Kane a little bit this season, where if you look at his numbers and his stats in terms of creativity and how he plays, there's a lot of potential in there. I know in terms of points for us, he hasn't always given a lot, but I was still keeping somewhere in the back of your head.
Okay, so you make a team then with Cancelo and Shea Adams and stick Mahrez in there as well and leave Lacazette out, and we'll see who gets where by the end of the season. Anyway, actually I say that and they'll all return massively now in double game week 19. Well, and next up, let's just round off with a quick check on which transfers, and there could be quite a few, people are going to make this weekend and who gets to wear the armband. Right, Jack. So if you wildcard, you've got a lot of thinking to do. If you don't wildcard, how big a points hit are you planning to make and for whom?
I think I'm willing to go up to a -8. I think -12, I start to get butterflies in the stomach because I haven't got 12 points to play with, really, looking at my league tables. So if I don't wildcard, I think my moves will be, I think I need De Bruyne. And I think Mahrez has to go. I think I haven't got a City defender. I haven't been able to get one in yet. So I think I need a Cancelo or maybe a Stones instead of Reece James, who doesn't look like he's going to play. And then that will mean cutting down costs elsewhere. And it may mean Harry Kane's exit for a cheapo.
And you can do all that for -8?
I can do that for -8. And that would leave me with 10 double game week players plus Patrick Bamford, which I think would be an okay situation, kind of a rescue act, but it would be okay.
All right. You're getting a nod of approval from Mark Southerns there?
I think half a one, which was, yeah, encouraging given the eyebrow raise I've had so far.
Mark might have been just looking at a different tab on his computer.
Yeah, I think it's sound. Spending points in this game week for, as I said, for and looking ahead, making plans again. Right, well, if I get them in this game week, I get some of that points back. Is a worthwhile tactic indeed. I've got a very difficult situation because I wildcarded for my bench boost, and my bench is Rafinha, Bamford, and Rodrigo now, all with one fixture, and Johnston, my goalkeeper, who's got Wolves and West Ham away. So I look at that bench and think, in any other game week, I'd be playing these players because Brighton at home is a great fixture for Leeds. So I think I have to bench boost. The decision I've got to make is I want to do Mane to De Bruyne for my free transfer. And then it's, do I get rid of any of these Leeds players for double game week players? So I could do Rafinha and Rodrigo to Lookman and Antonio to give me the extra fixtures and get me Lookman and Antonio for post game week 19, which isn't bad, but then odds on Rafinha and Rodrigo will go absolute gangbusters against Brighton. So it's quite a difficult decision.
With the bench boost, and Jules, you have a view on this as well. I actually thought I was set up for having a squad of 15 double game weekers and I was going to absolutely use my bench boost chip. Now, it's not worked out that way. It depends on the player, I guess. But what do you think would be around about the threshold for how many players you would think of? I mean, do you need to have at least one double game weeker on that bench before you would boost?
You've got to look at your bench and go, right, under normal circumstances, would I want these players to be earning me points? So I look at my three Leeds attackers and go, well, Leeds attackers are home to Brighton. I'd want to play them. And certainly Johnston away from home, even though he's got Wolves and West Ham away from home, you've got to think Big Sam will maybe get a green clean sheet out of one of those. So I absolutely look at those players and go, normally these would be in my team. So I think that makes my mind up to bench boost, because how am I going to manufacture a similar bench again this season? I can't really, because if I play the wild card for 26, I need to be planning to get players in for the blanks in 29, really. So I'm not going to have a strong bench there. And there's no way I'm going to have two active goalkeepers for the rest of the season, let alone one that's got two fixtures. So I don't see me getting this kind of bench again this season. So even though they haven't got two fixtures, I'm going to bench boost.
It's so comforting listening to you, Mark. So far you said it's okay to have fat points hits to bring in players and spaff away your chips as well. You make it sound so sensible. Jules, what are you doing for this game week?
I think I bring Cancelo in, and that's pretty much it. I think the rest hopefully would be okay. I think bench boost is a big option for me too. So
how many double game weekers?
I would have one on the bench, but I've got the Kane and Son dilemma.
Right.
And I think again they would score points, so it makes sense for me as well to bench boost.
Okay. And who's gonna wear your captain's armband, Jules?
So Mark, as we all know, he's the voice of reason. As taught us, James, very early on in the season, remember, don't captain anyone who plays against a top six team. That's what his Norwegian friend and big player said. And that has stayed in the back of my mind since I heard him saying that. So I haven't decided yet who I will go for. I haven't decided yet.
Wow. Sorry. What are the options at that point? If you do rule out top six opposition, Mark?
It's got to be De Bruyne with the two fixtures that he's got. He's going to play, and he's got Palace and Aston Villa at home. I mean, they're not easy games. I mean, Palace away from home can put up a fight. Villa certainly can. So I don't think there's massive points in it, but I think the guaranteed start, the set pieces and the role that he's playing and the numbers he's producing means De Bruyne is the obvious captain for me.
Jack?
Yeah, De Bruyne as well. I like to captain someone who I bring in. That's just a little weird thing I have. If I'm confident enough to bring him in, I should be confident enough to captain him, is my thinking. And I may, given that my bench boost has fallen apart, so I will keep the bench boost for future. Given that if I don't wildcard, obviously this is, I may even triple captain De Bruyne, just because,
oof,
you know, the future, the bench boost will have to wait for another time. I'm still going to have a wild card. So if there's another double game week, I might be using the wild card before that. Can't use two chips. I've made that mistake before. That might actually go back to the question you asked right at the start. My biggest regret was when I used a wild card and thought I could bench boost as well about 3 years ago. So yeah, I may go De Bruyne times three.
Wow. How about, throw this out there, how about Socek for a triple captain? Home to Burnley, home to West Brom. Hey?
I mean,
that would be a story, wouldn't it?
I dare you, yeah. I think it could pay off, but it wouldn't be mine.
No, do it, do it. Definitely do it. I think you should do it.
Thanks, Jules. Thanks for your support.
James just needs, excellent, James needs Mark to say it in his reassuring voice, and then he probably will go.
Yeah, only Mark.
Not
only
even
Mark.
I can say do that one. I'll decline that one, I think, James. Sorry.
All right, it's an idea whose time has maybe not come yet, but soon. Excellent. Listener, I hope that's been of some help to you in what is a complex and evolving fantasy situation. Remember, if you need any more help and resources to make your fantasy decisions for the 11 o'clock Saturday morning deadline, head over to fantasy.premierleague.com. There's loads of great articles from The Scout. There's loads of analysis. There's also the often watchable FPL show with myself and Jules Breach. For now, though, it's many, many thanks to Jack and to Jules and to Mark and to Joel, our producer. And listen, best of luck with Double Game Week 19. We'll be back with you next week. So see you then.